It sure makes it easier to preach when you hear a song like that, amen. One of my favorite. I'm a great lover of the hymns of the faith, but there's some new songs that have been written that I think are wonderful and beautiful, great songs that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, my wife and I have had a wonderful time here, and I've told people several times. In fact, when I was getting ready to retire, and I wasn't sure where we were going to wind up, we decided to stay there at Victory. But people say, well, where would you go to church? And without hesitation, I said, I'd probably go to Worth Baptist Church if there was no Victory. And we just love it. And it's been such a blessing to be here today. And Tony has been such a blessing going out of his way to take good care of us. We did have a wonderful lunch. My wife, Shelley, we've been married 50 years, I told you. This morning, or Tony did. I was saved at 14 years old in Florida. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. Anybody ever heard of that? And I was called to preach at 15, a year later. I went to the Bible Baptist Seminary at 16. They made a special exception, and I wasn't even out of high school, and they let me come out and start school. I'd never been away from out of Florida. Came to Texas, and wasn't long after that in school that I met my wife, Shelley, and our first date, I said, I'm going to marry you. And we got engaged. I remember when I asked her to marry me, she said, well, it depends. I said, what do you mean by that? She says, well, I'll let you know right up front, I do not believe in divorce. And I go, well, neither do I. She says, I do believe in murder. And I wanted to live a long time, so. But I told her, I said, well, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. So we're kind of covered on both sides. But she is very, very special, of course, to me and the minister we've shared through the years. A little girl one time was learning the Lord's Prayer. And she got a little tongue twisted a little bit. And she said, Our Father, which art in heaven, how did you know my name? Well, God does know our name. And he knows the thoughts in our mind. And did you know something? Psalm 139 says we're on God's mind. God has thoughts about us. Isn't that interesting? That God thinks about you. That's a little hard for our little brains to take in and conceive with all the billions of people in the world. And yet God knows you. And he loves you unconditionally. And what a God we serve. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Psalm, chapter number 20. Can you imagine what it would be like to wake up tomorrow morning or any morning and go through your day, and maybe you didn't notice it, but there was no longer an American flag anywhere? Can you imagine that? It's a little strange. But just for a moment, just for the sake of the message tonight, everywhere you went, you notice. Maybe at the end of the day, you know, that's strange. I just happened to think about it today. That big flag that flies so-and-so, it wasn't there. And down the road, and it wasn't there, and it wasn't there. That would be kind of strange, wouldn't it? No flag. I love the flag. And I love being a patriot. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's a great movement that's gaining momentum against patriotism, teaching our children that it's not politically correct to be patriotic. We're the world. We're global. We erase nationalism from the minds. They're not going to be able to do that with us old folks, but they're trying to get young people to rethink this whole idea. But I'm a flag waver. But there is a flag, another flag, and I use it in a symbolic way, that's even greater than that. neath the banner of the cross. The cross. Did you know that there's an old hymn. You probably sing it here a lot, I would imagine. But it's called Neath the Banner of the Cross. And it says there's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. Though the foe may rage and gather at as the flood, let the standard be displayed, and beneath its folds, as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth, be not dismayed. Marching on, for Christ, count everything but loss, and crown him king. Toil and sing neath the banner of the cross. In the book of Psalm, let's go to chapter 60, and we'll come back to chapter 20 here in just a second. But in Psalm chapter number 60, we find these words in verse number 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Why? That it may be displayed because of the truth. A banner to be displayed, to be recognized, to be associated with. In the book of Psalm chapter 20 in verse number 5, we find these words. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. You need not turn to Isaiah 59, but we find there, God said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. There's an old cliche. It was very popular for many years ago. I'm sure Dr. Weaver remembers this, and most preachers probably used it and quoted it many times. I haven't heard it in a while, but it's still I think it's worth repeating. It goes like this. You probably finish it once I start it. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would the judge lower the gavel and said, guilty as charged, you're a Christian? Unfortunately, for years now, sometimes it's very difficult to tell the Christians from the unchristians. So many times we have lowered the flag, we've hid it. There's nothing wrong with wearing these t-shirts that talks about Christ and stuff like that, as long as you live what you're wearing. I think that's important. But I don't think that's really what God had in mind when he talked about letting our light shine. Not necessarily, there's nothing wrong with it. But Jesus said this. He said, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you love one another. And there's other ways. But how does people know you're a Christian? If they never met you. If you see someone in a restaurant, many times we'll notice someone praying and bowing their head, and we go, oh, well, they must be Christians. Well, I like to be positive. I like to think, well, maybe, hopefully they are. But you know, a lot of people that have never been saved pray. A lot of people say their prayers, but they've never known Christ. A lot of people go to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian, right? A lot of people carry a Bible, but that doesn't always mean, well, that person's a Christian. They have a Bible. There's another phrase called show your colors. You ever heard that? Show your colors. It's kind of interesting. I looked at where that came from. Actually, it went all the way back to the 1700s. It was a nautical origin that referred to the color of the flag which every ship was required to fly at sea. Pirates used to deceive other ships by sailing under false flags so that they would not excite suspicion. To show your colors means to show what one is really like. Are you really what people see? It means to reveal one's real nature. I remember my son Jason, when he went to high school, both of our kids went to Christian schools up until about high school. And I remember my son Jason came home, and one of the teachers, he came to him and said, "Jason, you got a minute?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And my son said, "Yes." And then he looked at him again and kind of almost put his hand on him and says, "No, you're a real Christian." Would somebody say about you, "Now that's a real Christian. That's a real Christian." Waving the flag, displaying the banner, not being ashamed. It seems that a lot of people are wanting to lower the flag. They're wanting to change the flag of Christianity. They want to not be offensive to anyone. And it's so sad that churches are falling into that same pit. Let's change the name. Let's take the name off the sign. Let's change the flag. Isn't that something? Every once in a while, it's good to reconfirm our allegiance to Christ and to wave the flag of Jesus. Especially in these days of chaos and confusion and conflict, it's time to let everyone know again who we are and where we stand and what we believe and where we're going. Many of you know Dr. Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan was my associate for over 25 years. And one of the best, we would talk about just about everything. But I remember one time that really made an impression on me. We were talking about, well, what do we need to do about this or that or the other? And he said, "Well, preacher, I think probably we just raise the flag and who we are. And people that believe what we believe will get under the flag." Amen. The plan has not changed. The Great Commission has not changed. Our doctrines have not changed. And the old-time religion is the all-time religion. We need to get beneath the banner of the cross, as they sang a moment ago, living in the shadow of the cross. The banner is blood-stained, but that ought to bring a smile to our face, because we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. Jesus' blood, oh my, how precious. Jesus didn't make a down payment. He paid it all. And it's still waving. It's our battle flag. It's so important. The Bible says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Well, we need to move to the mountaintop and make decisions. The world has its banners, do they not? They're everywhere. Waving in defiance to God and waving in irreverence and waving in rebellion. But the banners in the Bible, I didn't cover all of them tonight, but the banner was for identification. That's why they would bear up a banner, an ensign, to identify. And it's not so much about who we are as whose we are. Amen? We belong to Him. We're bought with a price. The blood-stained banner of redemption the greatest price. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The children of Israel had their banners, their standard, their flags, if you will. In Isaiah 11, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. You know, there's a true story of a man one time that was very faithful to church. He never missed for many years. Never missed. He'd never been married. But here's the clincher. He not only was deaf, he could not hear one sound. He was blind, he could not see one thing. And he was at Sunday school and church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, week after week, month after month, year after year. He couldn't hear, he couldn't see. He communicated through Braille. And somebody asked him that knew how to communicate in his situation, says, "Pardon me for asking, but why do you come to everything and you don't hear anything or see anything?" You know what he said? He just said, "I just want people to know whose side I'm on." Isn't that good? I want to wave the flag. I'm not ashamed. But the banner was always also for encouragement. When you would see the banner, all there are probably countless stories of military men who've gone across the country and around the world to defend our freedom and fight for freedom, and died and shed their blood. But so many stories have been told of how in the last minute, when things were so tight and so just like almost the end, and someone would raise the flag, they would be inspired. Jeremiah says, "Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal it not, because it's a victory flag." May I remind you tonight that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting in victory. We're just waiting for the time clock to run out. We've already won the game. Amen? When there's no way we're going to lose. We've already won in Christ. There's no one in this audience tonight who has not been discouraged. And the greatest encouragement that I know is Calvary. That he would love me that much. And oh, what a death. Someone wrote a song, "I will glory in the cross, lest his sufferings all be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross." And then not only that, but the banner that I'm talking about, this cross, this great, great flag that we take up and we fly and display. It also speaks of an authority. Isaiah said, "He shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. All power is given unto me," Jesus said. "Go ye into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The banner also was a rallying point for unity. People sometimes, the men in battle would be scattered, and they'd raise the flag, and all of a sudden, like a magnet, they would all rally round the banner. You know, every time this church meets, it's a rally around the banner. Amen. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. We fly the banner of the Bible, amen. We're not ashamed of the Bible. We're not ashamed of the Bible. We raise it up. Why do we have to apologize? We have the truth. As I said this morning, most of the people in this world have not seen the Bible, and some that have don't get anything out of it. And yet you and I, God has shown us the truth of his word. Not because we are so smart, but by the grace of God. We fly the banner of a literal six-day creation, amen. Don't be ashamed of that. We fly the banner of Christ and his deity. Most people today don't have any problem with you talking about Jesus as long as you not insist on his deity that he was God. I mean, people that never go to church could care less, and yet they'll say, Jesus was a great man. There's no doubt about that. But when you stake the claim that he was God in the flesh, we fly the banner of the cross. We fly the banner of the blood. We fly the banner of the resurrection. We fly the banner of the New Testament church, which is local and visible. We fly the banner of scriptural baptism, baptized for the right reason, in the right way, by the right authority. We believe so much that the church, Christ died for the church, and we're not ashamed of the church. I meet so many people asking whether they're saved. They go, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't do the church thing. But you're saved? Oh, yeah, sure. How'd you get saved? Well, I just asked Jesus to come to my heart, and they told me I was safe and saved and didn't have to worry about it anymore. But that church just, it's just not my thing. Isn't that something? All true born-again believers love the church. And they express that love. Because love, if it's not expressed, is worth nothing. And by the way, we ought to be careful. Years ago when I came to Texas, I saw a few of those signs, don't mess with Texas. I don't have a problem with that. But don't mess with the church. Amen. The church is the pride and joy of Jesus Christ. He started the church. We fly the banner of missions. We fly the banner of soul winning. We fly the banner of preaching, the foolishness of preaching. That's God's plan. There's no substitute for preaching. We fly the banner of being a Baptist. We're not ashamed of being a Baptist. We're not Protestant. We didn't protest and come out of anywhere. We're Baptist. And yet so many people today that called themselves Baptists say, well, wait, we don't tell anybody. We fly the banner of belief in the priesthood of the believer. The banner of salvation. The banner of eternal security. Whosoever will may come. The banner of altar calls and patriotism and reverence for God's house. Tithes and offerings. The free will tithes and offerings. That's God's plan. You can't improve on that. A non-tither is a thief, the Bible says. The banner of grace. The banner of separation. The banner. We fly the banner that all lives matter. We fly the banner of biblical marriage and family. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Who in the world would have ever thought we had to explain that one? We fly the banner of educating our children with a biblical worldview. We fly the banner of the right to bear arms. I'm talking about speak up and stand up and wave the banner unashamed. You know, we believe that unity is wonderful, and it is. It's wonderful to have a church like this, and we all agree. But you know what? Unity is not absolutely necessary. It's wonderful. But there's something more important than unity, than just unity, and that is right, doing what's right, whether there's unity or not. So many people compromise anything to get unity, to get everybody to agree on something. But the question is not what do we all agree on. The question is it right? Do the right thing in the right way for the right reason. This is who we are. Raise it up higher and higher. We're not ashamed. Wave it proudly. Display it. We're too timid. One of the great marks of the early church was their boldness. You say, well, I'm not bold. Well, neither am I. Boldness doesn't come. It comes from the Holy Spirit, amen. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll say things you didn't think you'd say. You would all of a sudden just let it out. You would be courageous. That's from being filled, yielded, controlled, led by the Holy Spirit of God. Most of us would have to admit the reason probably more people aren't getting saved is because people are trying to witness without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Waving the banner. Rally around the banner. The church, you know, in a lot of mission fields, countries around the world, when they needed help or protection, where would they go? They would go to the embassy. And over that embassy was the flag. And they would think, if we can get there, we'll be safe. You know, I got to think about that. In a way, the church is like an embassy, where people who believe the gospel and know Christ can come together under that flag. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow over me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. A banner is displayed so that it can be followed, not just admired. Right? It's to follow. You know, when Matthew, the tax collector, one of the disciples of Christ, it's always interested me. The Bible says after he met Jesus, it says he left all, arose, and followed Christ. Before he followed Christ, it says he left all. Then think about that. Usually, you arise and you follow and leave everything behind. But before Matthew ever stood up, he left all. He made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I'm almost through, but there's one other banner that I want to remind you of. Oh, this is a beautiful banner. It's found in the Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Amen. His banner over me was love. Wow. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? Could we with ink the ocean fill. You remember that? Think about it. Would drain the ocean dry if you were to ride it across the skies. Oh, love of God. I'm talking about rallying around the banner. I'm talking about not being ashamed. I'm talking about standing not only for but with Christ. Sometimes people tell preachers, and it sounds good at first, they say, "Preacher, you just hang in there, we're behind you." I say, "Well, I'd like you to be up here beside me." Amen. And it's one thing to follow Jesus, and we understand, I'm not trying to play on words here, but to be with Jesus, side by side. Amen. Oh, walking with Jesus every day, not just on Sunday. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Did you know that the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, did you know the man that wrote that for little children, for a Sunday school song? Little children. And he would lead them down the road to the church to go to Sunday school, and they were singing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners glow." Think about children singing that. "At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise." But this is my favorite verse. "Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We're not divided. All one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity." Are you a Christian? You know, you could be saved and not be a Christian, because Christian means Christ-like. Have you always been Christ-like? Ever since you've been saved, have you been like Jesus every day? Dumb question. You can't be a Christian and not be saved. But when we're saved, we're followers of Jesus. I'll ask you one more time before we stand. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would you be convicted? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Now think about it. It's easy to keep it to ourselves, to blend in, to not make a scene, to not cause any problems. A secret Christian. Why aren't more people coming to Christ? Because many times the gospel is kept a secret. I've heard many stories of people that would work with on the job sometimes 15 or 20 years, and people would find out they're a Christian. "Go, I didn't know you were a Christian. All these years we worked together, I didn't know that." Isn't that something? Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, forgive us when we hide the flag. Forgive us when we just kind of bend and let it go. Lord, we need a revival of Christianity that will be verbal, Lord, and speak it and sing it and talk it and live it. Lord, that's what happens when we have revival. Fall in love again, and people know there's something different about us. Lord, touch our hearts tonight. And if someone's here tonight and they're almost sure, but they're not sure that they're saved. And Lord, to be almost saved is to be lost. Maybe someone here tonight, they've been wrestling with that, Lord, and they need to get it squared away and get it settled tonight. Maybe someone would come and trust Christ. But Lord, I preached mainly to myself and to these dear Christians. And I pray, Father, you would convict us and cleanse us and comfort us. May we leave different than we came in. In Jesus' name I pray.